Blog Talk Radio.
Watchman on the Wall. This is Watchman on the Wall. End Time Global Link Ministry. This is Elder G. Bizarre coming to you from Warren, Ohio. And I'm going on down there in Atlanta, Georgia. And from Atlanta, Georgia, I'm going to pick up Brother Tim after a while. He'll be coming on maybe about 9:30 or 9:45. This is your gospel preacher. This is your evangelist. This is your prophet. This is Elder G. Bizarre calling on those that want to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. For I can tell you this for a real deal. Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth. And I know, the devil's saying, ain't nothing going to happen. Everything's going to be all right. Yeah, let's keep on doing what we want to do, what we love to do. We ain't worried about the second coming of Jesus Christ because they've been talking about this thing for so long. And ain't nothing happened yet, but the Bible tells you there's certain events that has to take place before Christ appears. We know that he's going to appear at the rapture, and we know he's going to appear visibly to the whole world at the end of the tribulation period. Jesus Christ is coming back to get a church without a spot or a wrinkle. He's coming to get a sanctified church, a church that has been set apart from sin only through the blood of Jesus Christ. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. There's no way that no man or no nation can actually ever live with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ or see him or touch him except they be born again. In other words, you got to be set free from sin. The only thing that can set you free from sin is the blood of Jesus Christ by repenting and turning from your wicked ways, turning from your wicked doings, turning from your wicked thinking that you think that this is not going to happen. But I'm going to tell you right now, this is Elder Bizarre, and I've been on this line. I've been preaching for this for almost 57 years. The burial, death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the second coming of Jesus Christ, the rapture, the tribulation period. I've been preaching Revelation about 57 years, and it hasn't changed. I haven't changed one word to make it comfortable for you. I'm going to tell you just like it is. Revelation is yet to be fulfilled. I said Revelation is yet to be fulfilled when Christ Jesus will be revealed from heaven after the seven-year tribulation is over, and that concludes the end of the age, end of sin, end of Satan, end of wickedness, because the tribulation period will last 7 years of judgment from God Almighty for upon the wicked of the world. A lot of people ask, why did God let the world go on like this? Why don't he do something? He did do something. He did do something. He did something that no other individual, no other deity, no other God, no other entity could ever do. He did do something. He gave man an opportunity to be saved by the grace of God through the cross. That's the greatest. And now God is great anyway. I mean, he's great all by himself. He don't need me to tell him that he's great. He's great because there's no other besides him. Everything was made by him, and without him, there's nothing that is made. And the Bible says, and God was manifested in the flesh, seen of an angel, justified by the Spirit, received up into glory. God did it all by himself. He didn't have to ask nobody to come down here. He didn't have to come down here at all, but he came down here to redeem mankind, give man an opportunity to be saved from sin. Since the Garden of Eden was messed up by disobedience of Adam and Eve, and that's where it all started. It started in the Garden of Eden when Lucifer came in and talked to Adam and Eve. And he didn't go to Adam. He went to Eve. He went to the woman. He went to the weaker vessel. He went to the one that was that he knew that he could fool, that he knew that he could trick, to eat the fruit of knowledge of good and evil. And you say, well, why did this happen today? You know what? The world is in the shape it is in today. It comes from the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve messed up. Lord, have mercy. When they messed up and gave Satan the priority to take control of the human race. In other words, Satan caused man to fall down to almost zero factor. He caused Adam and Eve to disobey God, and what happened? Sin came in, and when sin came in, sin brings death. There's so much death in the world today, killing and murdering and raping and homosexuals and lesbianism and incest and child abuse and child pornography. Where did it all come from? It comes from Lucifer, from the Garden of Eden, and it took 6,000 years. And we at the 6,000 years now, and look at the condition of the world. It's lost. L-O-S-T. It's doomed. It's doomed for hell. That's what Satan wants to do. He wants to doom the human race. And God loves the world so much that he gave what? He gave his only begotten son. That whosoever believeth in him and trust in him and rely on him and hope in him and desire him and, just craving for Christ to save their soul, guess what? The Bible says, thou shalt be saved. And you can receive eternal life by repenting godly sorrow, sorry for sinning against a holy, righteous God. You got to repent. There's no way other way that you can come to God unless you repent of your sins. And a lot of people say, well, I haven't sinned. Yes, you have. You're born in sin, shaped in iniquity. Did your mother conceive you? No man was born without sin. No man on this earth that ever was born in sin. Only God man that was ever born without sin. No sin in him. No sin, on him. He became a sin offering for mankind. He didn't die for himself. He died for humanity. He died for the creation, for the fall that man fell way down to rock bottom. And we can see the world is in such a shape as at rock bottom. It's at the bottom. The devil thinks he has the victory. The devil thinks he's winning. The devil thinks he's not going to be punished for everlasting fire and brimstone. He's trying to get people, to go with him because he's going to hell. Satan is going to hell. You can put everything you got on. Satan is on his way to hell. And I'm not talking about the hell where all the wicked did go. I'm talking about lake of fire, the Gehenna place. The Gehenna place, the lake of fire, where brimstone will be burning forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever, gnashing and gashing the teeth. Satan says, I want the world to follow me. I want the world to deny Jesus Christ. I want the world to deny the blood of Jesus Christ. I want the world not to believe in the grace of God, in the love of God, in the mercy of God. He said, if I can keep them away from the love and the mercy and the cross and the shed blood of Jesus Christ, if I can get them to renege and follow me, I got the whole world going to hell. And let me tell you something. According to the word of God, majority of the world is lost during the tribulation period. Majority of the world will follow who? Will follow the Antichrist. The Antichrist is here. He's on the planet, my friend. He's alive right now. So don't get comfortable. Don't get comfortable, because I know one thing. I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and I'm not comfortable. What you mean, preacher? You supposed to be. I'm comfortable for what God has done for me, but I'm comfortable not seeing, not wanting to see people die and go to hell. I'm not comfortable with that. I don't feel good about that. I wish I could tell everybody. I wish everybody could get saved. I don't want nobody. I don't want my worst enemy to go to hell. The only person I want to go to hell and burn forever and ever is Satan himself. I want him. Ooh, man. God's going to put it on him. He's going to be tormented forever. And he don't want you. He don't want you to know that the blood of Jesus Christ can save you from the gates of hell, can save you from sin, can save you from misery, can save you to the uttermost, that you can live for him, that you can praise him, and that you can live with him forever and ever and ever, and you don't have to be punished for your own sins. Because if you don't receive Christ in your life, during your lifetime, and you die in your sins, listen to me in what I'm saying now. I didn't say you can go to church all you want to. I love church. I love to see people rejoice. I love to see people come to the altar. I love to see people, amen, tell them about their conversion and rejoice. I love to see people bow down before God, because I tell you, bowing down to God, woo, that's a pleasure to bow down to the Almighty God. But I don't want to see nobody be lost forever and ever and ever and ever when you don't have to be lost. Why can't God change the world? God can change the world. But first, the world, the people have to want to be changed. Listen very carefully. God cannot change your life. No. He cannot change your life against your will. Against your will, God cannot change your life. God cannot make you repent, but God can woo you in and talk to your heart that you need to repent. But he can't push you over a cliff and say, now on your way down, you repent and I'll save you. He wants you to repent, recognizing that you are unworthily, you are wicked, you are sinful, you are you're just lost. You don't know who Jesus Christ is. You don't know who he is. You never experienced his changing power. You never experienced his love. You never experienced his mercy. You never experienced his forgiveness. You never experienced that. And what you need to do, you need to experience the forgiveness and the cleansing and the power of the blood of Jesus Christ so the Lord can change your life. But let me tell you something. God cannot change you unless you want to be changed, that you want to be like Jesus, that you want Christ to come into your life, that you want to repent for your sins that you've done against a holy God, because God cannot live with sin. God cannot tolerate sin in heaven. He can tolerate it here on earth to give you opportunity to receive Christ. But there won't be no sin in heaven. God cannot tolerate sin in his holy presence forever. And the only way that you can get rid of sin, woo, you've got to come to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Yes, we are living in the last days. Yes, Christ is coming back again. Yes, the Jews are back in the land. Yes, Russia is going to make an attack upon Israel. Yes, there's going to be wars. Yes, there's going to be famines and pestilence and diseases that's going to come up on this earth out of nowhere. People are going to wonder what's going on. And yes, there's going to be a rapture where Jesus Christ is going to call the saints of God home in a moment of a twinkling of an eye. And the dead in Christ shall rise, and we that remain alive shall be called to meet the Lord in the air. Yes, it's going to happen. I guarantee it's going to happen. I put everything on my life, on my soul, on my spirit, that it's going to happen as sure as you are born. And going to church is not going to get you to heaven. In fact, the last church age is Laodicea. And that's a lukewarm, half-hearted, hypocritical, backbitings. All kinds of stuff is going on in this church. Homosexuals in this church. Lesbianism in this church. And it's not the true church. It's a church trying to play like they know Jesus Christ and they don't know nothing about his awesome power to change your life and sanctify your soul. Because let me tell you, except Jesus Christ sanctify your soul, you cannot be sanctified. Because that's the only blood. That's the only blood can change a person's life. And let me tell you, blood is a very important liquid. It's a liquid. And that liquid runs through your body all day long. Every time your heart beats, it's pumping blood through your body. And without that blood in your body, listen to me what I'm saying. Without that blood in your body, you cannot live. You've got to have blood in your body. And the amount of blood that's in the human being's body is a gallon, 1 gallon and maybe a little more, maybe a gallon and a quarter, a gallon and a half. It depends on how big the person is. But you got to have that blood in order to live in this physical life. You cannot live without it. You got to have the right amount in your body for you to exist and you to be able to operate sensible. You got to have blood running through your brain, through your fingers, in your eye. You got to have blood all inside of your body circulating. You got to have it. You can't live without it. And what I'm trying to tell you cannot live a saved life if you don't have the blood of Jesus Christ in your soul. How can you have it? Through the crucifixion. The crucifixion, Jesus Christ shed his blood on Calvary's cross, and through that shed blood, the fountain was open, and the Holy Spirit, through the blood, was able, now in this present dispensation, is able to save souls by faith in Jesus Christ. Because the soul is in the blood. The soul of the blood of Jesus Christ was shed on Calvary's cross 2,000 years ago. And that 2,000 years ago, the blood of Jesus Christ has never lost its power. And since you are dead in sin, you're lost. You're on your way to hell. You've got to have a blood transfusion. You've got to have a divine blood transfusion. And let me tell you, no preacher, no pope, no cardinal, no deacon, no bishop, nobody has ever died and rose again from the dead but Jesus Christ. And because Jesus Christ is God, that means that God raised himself from the dead by the power of his own power, and now he's sitting on the right-hand side of God. He done paid the penalty for sin. So my sins have been paid for, and by my sins have been paid for, the only thing that I can get, only way I can get rid of them, I got to confess him with my mouth and believe with my heart that God raised him from the dead. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm saying God's power. God gave up his blood through his son. In other words, God had to become a human being with a human body, with a blood system, with a heart, lungs, liver, kidneys. He had to be human. God had to be human. Because that was the only way God Almighty could redeem man. Not through the Baptist church. You can't be redeemed through the Baptist church. You can't be redeemed through the Presbyterian church. You can't be redeemed from any church that has a name on it. You cannot be redeemed from that denomination. The only redemption power that's able to redeem your soul from hell is the blood of Christ. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. You cannot be saved unless Jesus Christ came back from the dead by the power of God. You cannot join the church. You can't shake the preacher's hand. You can't be a good person and think you're going to heaven. I don't care how good you are. Did you hear what I said? I said, I don't care how sweet you are. I don't care all the works that you can do through the church. You can give. You can treat people nice. But if you have never been washed in the blood of the Lamb, you're still on your way to hell. I don't care how well you can preach. I don't care how well you give. I don't care how well you treat people. If you have not been born again, just like Jesus Christ told Nicodemus, ye must be born again, Nicodemus. Nicodemus said, look, I'm old and gray. Can I go into my mother's womb a second time and be born again? Jesus said, verily, verily, I say to you, and yes, you be born of the water and of the spirit, you cannot see. Did you hear what he said? He told Nicodemus this. He told a high rabbi this. Nicodemus came by night, so he wouldn't be interrupted, so he wouldn't be seen talking to Jesus. He wanted to know something. And Jesus told him that, gee, ye must be born again. If the Pope, if Jesus Christ would talk to the Pope today, he would tell the Pope, ye must be born again. If he talked to the bishop, ye must be born again. If you talk to the lay member, ye must be born again. If you talk to the choir member, ye must be born again. You got to be born again, or you won't see heaven at all. I don't care you work through the church for 40, 50, 60 years and die at the age of 90. But if you have never confessed with your mouth and believe with your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead by the power of God, you are lost. And let me tell you something. You cannot get saved after you die. There's no such thing as purgatory. There's a place called hell, the grave, Hades, Gehenna. There's a place the angels are locked up, reserved in the chain of darkness until the day of judgment. And there's a bottomless pit in which Satan will be bound at the end of the tribulation period. Satan will be bound in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. There's a millennium coming. There's a change of the world government. The world governments are going to be handed over to the government of God. God is going to take over this earth through his son Jesus Christ. And if Jesus Christ wouldn't have died, good God Almighty, I wouldn't be able to preach the word like I'm preaching it now. I wouldn't be able to tell you nothing, because let me tell you, if Christ didn't die, woo, I'm in trouble. If Christ didn't get up from the grave, I'm in trouble. Serious trouble with God. Because God cannot make an atonement for my sin except he shed his blood. Except he gave his life that I may have life. And the only way I can get this life is to repent of my low-down, dirty, conniving self, my hypocritical thinking, my hypocritical talk, unless I come and ask the Lord to sanctify my soul, Set my soul apart from sin, death, hell, and the grave. Set my soul apart from hatred and bigotry and lying and cheating and backbiting. Separate my soul and seal it with the love of God, because the love of God will cover a multitude of sins. And John 3:16, Jesus spoke out and said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. He said, I didn't come to condemn the world, but I came that the world through me might be saved. I didn't come to damn the world. I come to save the world from the pits of hell, death, hell, and the grave. I come to give my life that you may have life. I come to share my life on Calvary's cross. On Calvary's cross. On Calvary. Calvary's where it's at. Going to church is good, like I told you. Going to church is good, but don't believe that you can walk into church and become a child of God. There's a lot of people that's full of the devil go to church. The devil can go to church. The devil can sing. The devil can preach. The devil can shout. The devil can speak in other tongues. He can do all that. He can prophesy. He can do all that. Jesus told the Pharisees and the Sadducees, he said, many in that day will say, Lord, Lord, have not we cast out devils? Lord, have we not been the secretary and the doorkeeper and the janitor of the church? Lord, have not I been the pastor's aide? Lord, have not I given my tithe and offering? Lord, didn't I do some devil? Didn't I do cast out devils, Lord? Oh, Lord, didn't I sing? Didn't I shout? Yes, you did. But Jesus said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. So there's a lot of people going under the name of Christianity, don't even know who Jesus Christ is. Well, he is a Lamb of God. He is the Rose of Sharon. He is the Lily of the Valley. He's my Redeemer. He's my hope of glory. He's the spring from on high. He's the Redeemer of my soul. He's the high tower. He's the bread. He's the water. He's my mama and he's my daddy. He's everything to me, and I'm depending on him and nobody but him. For I love him with all my mind. I love him with all my soul. I love him more than I love myself. I love him in the morning. I love in the night, and my job is to tell somebody about somebody who can save anybody, and that one that I'm talking about is Jesus Christ. My friends, we are living in an awful time. We're living in a terrible time. What kind of time are we living in? We're living in a day now where people don't care nothing about nothing. We're living in a time now where people deny. People are denying the deity of God and the inspiration of the Bible and the divinity of Jesus Christ. They're denying that. They deny the existence of God and the inspiration of the Bible. People don't even read the Bible no more. They don't believe in the Bible no more. They misinterpret the word of God. They tell people things that's not in the Bible, trying to twist it to fit their ego. We're living in a time now where people deny the existence of the soul. Life after death. They don't believe there's life after death. Some people say you come back like a cow, you come back like a monkey, you come back like something else. To deny the existence what the word of God says. They deny salvation. They deny there's a heaven. And they deny the damnations of hell. Hell no. They don't believe in nothing that goes against their grain. They want to agree with things that is not in the Bible. They want to do what they want to do. So by that, they're denying the existence that there's life after death. But let me tell you, the biggest fool in the world, if they miss heaven, they're going to find out for certain, for everlasting, they're going to find out for sure, is there a hell, is there a heaven, And let me tell you, I don't want you to wait that long to find out, because once you die, listen to me what I'm saying. Once you die, once you lay down and go to sleep, and don't think you can't die at a young age. You can die at any age these days. People are dying. Young folks are dying. Babies are dying. Middle class people, poor people are dying. Black people are dying. White people are dying. Chinese are dying. You Jews are dying. Let me tell you, you're going to die one day. Think about it. Think about when you die. Where are you going to go? Where are you going to spend eternity? Where do you want to go? Well, naturally, everybody want to go to heaven. But everybody that want to go to heaven don't mean they're going. The devil wants to get back into heaven. Don't you know that? Yeah, honey. That sucker's still trying to get back into heaven. He was cast out eons ago, eon ages ago, at the beginning of time. He was cast out of heaven. Then he was cast to the earth. And now he's trying to rule the world. He's trying to rule the world. And he will have an opportunity to rule the world. For 7 years, he's going to rule the world. He's going to be in charge. God's going to give him a little slot, you know, let him do his thing. But God's still going to run it. He's going to run it. He's going to, what he's doing, he's giving man the last opportunity. This is what he's doing. This is what God's doing. God is giving man and humanity the last opportunity that he will ever have to receive Jesus Christ between a split decision. And the decision is Satan is going to take over the world. He's going to take over the economy system. He's going to take over the religious system. He's going to take over the political system. He's going to rule, and he's going to own everything on this planet through the human man, the human family. And the Antichrist is going to stand up and tell the world that he is Jesus Christ. That's what he's going to do. That's what the devil's planning to do. He's got a man already. He's the Antichrist now. But there's a time he's going to become the beast. And God is going to give the whole human race a 7-year period in which the gospel will be preached by the Jewish nation. The Jews are going to preach the last 7 years the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of grace will be preached by the church. The church has been preaching the gospel of grace for the last 2,000 years, from the day of Pentecost all the way over to the last church age, which is Laodicea, and that's the lukewarm church. There's neither hot or cold, it's lukewarm, and the Lord said this church is miserable. This church is naked. This church is wretched. This church is cold. And he said, I wish you would be hot or cold, but since you are lukewarm, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. And don't you know God is vomiting people out of his mouth right now, living a hypocritical life, professing that they know Jesus Christ and living like the devil, cuss like the devil, walk like the devil, and you better watch out, and look like the devil, carrying the name of Jesus Christ under disguise to try to fool who? They're fooling themselves. They ain't fooling God. And you can't you can't fool the saints. If a saint meets another person and he's living a hypocritical life, you got it. You got it because the Spirit of God, powerful. The Spirit of God is love. And if a man says he loves God, hey, you got it? If a man say he loves God, and hate his brother, what brother? His black brother, his white brother, his Chinese brother, his church brother. If he hate that brother and call himself loving God, the Bible says he's a liar and the truth is not How can you love God whom you have never seen? You ain't never seen God. You don't know what he looked like. And people today go by how I like you or not by the looks you carry. And by that, and you hate your brother, and you talking about you love God, you are a hypocrite. You are a lying, backstabbing hypocrite. You don't know God, because God is not a backstabber. God is not a critical person. God is a God of love and mercy and goodness. And God, amen, loves those and enjoys those that put their faith in him. If you're walking with God, you're walking with God by faith, because the Bible said God is a spirit, and those that worship him, those that honor him, those that bow down to him, those that love him, will must worship him in spirit and in truth. And if you're not walking in truth, you're walking in a lie. But you're trying to claim Jesus Christ. And you can't claim Jesus Christ unless you have the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost is Jesus Christ. The Holy Ghost is God Almighty. The Holy Ghost is one. The Holy Ghost, God Father, God Son, God the Holy Ghost, all co-equal. There ain't no first and second in the Trinity. All co-equal. Jesus Christ said, I and my Father are one. I'm in the Father in me. The works that you see me do, it's not I that doth it, but the Father that dwelleth in me. The world is trying to fool God, but it can't fool God. Everybody that says they're a Christian, that don't mean you're a Christian. You just can't walk in a mechanic garage and become a mechanic. You just can't go to church and come outside the church talking about you're a Christian. You got to go to Calvary. You've got to bend your knees. You got to bend them rusty knees down and confess with your mouth. You confess everything that you want to confess, but you won't confess Jesus Christ. He is Lord to the glory of God. Apostle Paul said, at the name of Jesus, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Yes, he's coming. The world is saying now, this is what the world denying. Deny the biblical account of creation. The world is. They deny that there's a creator. They deny that there's a divine designer of the whole world, of the whole universe. They believe that there is no absolute, no right nor wrong, and that moral values are self-determined and situational. Do your own thing as long as it does not harm anyone else. That's what the world is saying. Believe in removal of distinctive of roles of male and female. They don't went haywire. They don't went crazy. You got punks, you got fags, you got homosexuals, you got lesbianism setting up in the congregation, singing and shouting, ain't had a bit changed, still going with each other, still going to bed, men with men and women with women, coming to the house of God, talking about we can be a homosexual and be a Christian. No, you can't do it. God won't permit it. God won't tolerate it. If you read the book of Romans, he said, now, y'all done this thing so long, and y'all done agree with it so long. He said, now what I'm going to do, if you keep it up and don't repent and come back to the right moral values and the right spiritual values, he said, I'm going to give you up to a reprobate mind, that you will do those things unseemly, willfully. And guess what a reprobate mind is? God said, I'm going to let you go. I'm going to let you go. Go ahead. I ain't going to say nothing, but you're going to answer for it at the judgment day. The world has gone mad, crazy. Why? Because they are doomed for sinning against a holy and righteous God, a God that can't look upon sin, a God that's angry at the wicked every day. And if it wasn't for Christ dying on Calvary's cross, he would have wiped me out a long time ago. But by Christ dying on Calvary's cross, he paid the penalty for sin. So he gave me an opportunity to come to him, and he's giving you an opportunity to come to him right now. And just because you don't think time is close, it's closer than you think it is. Because things are going to get real bad. It's going to get real bad as we go into 2022. Everybody dependent upon the political world. Everybody dependent upon the religious world. I'm not dependent upon nothing that the world has to offer me. My help comes from the hills and the creator who made the heaven and earth. I'm looking towards the Son of the living God. That's the only hope I got. That's the only hope I can rely and depend upon. Why? Because he is the one that paid the penalty for sin. And guess what? The devil can't buy me back. The devil can't get me back. He can't go beyond the bloodline. He can't get to, he can't even touch my soul. Never again will he touch my soul. Never again will he captivate my soul. The only thing Satan has to work with is this old flesh that bothers me sometimes. Ooh, this old flesh that gets on my nerves sometimes. This old flesh, hey man, I want to do the right thing. I don't know how to perform that which I know how to do. Paul says, I'm fighting against flesh and blood. I'm fighting against the principality of air. I'm fighting against the darkness of this old world where the world lies in wickedness. And the world is in such a rock and roll shaking now, people are trying to explain it away. Some are trying to recreation it away. Some is trying to have parties and have a whole lot of fun to get it off their mind. But whatever you do, it's not going to get away with it. You're not going to escape. You're not going to escape the wrath of God except you come to Jesus Christ. Otherwise, listen, otherwise you've got to pay for your own sins. You've got to pay the penalty for your own sins. And that penalty is death. Hey, what kind of death? A spiritual death. A death that means separation from God forever. I'll say that again. Separation from God forever. If you die in your sin, you're going to be separated from God forever. So you can't get saved after you die. There is no such thing as purgatory. No, 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 no. There is no such thing as a trial run. You're going to be tormented for a little bit, and then you come back, and you have another chance. No. It's appointed once for man to die, and after that, the judgment. You're not going to Walmart. You're not going to Macy's. You're not going to no store to do a shopping. You're not going to the grocery store. You're going to the judgment. And the judgment is, die without Christ, you're going to hell. Die with Christ in your soul, in your spirit, in your life, dedicated, committed, sanctified, justified. Woo! When the trumpet blows, the dead in Christ, what? In Christ, in Christ, in Christ means saved. In Christ means redeemed. In Christ means born again. In Christ means that you died with Jesus Christ, separated from sin by the blood of Jesus Christ. You're going to get up out the grave in a moment of a twinkling of an eye. And we that remain alive shall be caught to meet the Lord in the air. What you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about salvation. I ain't talking about money. I ain't talking about what kind of clothes I got. I ain't talking about my career. I'm not talking about my status quo. I'm not talking about trying to be famous before I leave this earth. Lord, have mercy. Woo! Wow! Some people trying to be famous and do great things for themselves and try to lift themselves up. But I ain't even involved in that. What I want to know before you go or before I go, what's going to be happening to me when I close my eyes and they plant me 6 feet under? What's going to happen to my soul? Where do my soul go? Well, let's talk to Jesus about that. Jesus told the actual event that happened, the rich man and Lazarus. When Lazarus was a poor man, he didn't have no food, he had sores, and walked up to this rich man's back door, looking in the garbage can, trying to find some food. He couldn't find no canned goods, he couldn't find no ribs, he couldn't find maybe a couple bowls of potato salad. He was trying to get something to eat, and he had a doctor's office following him, and that was some bloodhounds was licking his sores. That's the only comfort he had. And when he got to the rich man's back door, he crawled up on the steps and asked somebody, give me something to eat, please give me something. The servant came out and looked at him and said, I'm going to tell my master I got a beggar out here. And he went and told his master, Master, I got a beggar out here. He got sores all over. He got a dog's in there. He said he asked him to look in the garbage can and see if he can find something. And the rich man came out with his proud self, self-righteous, religious fanatic. Oh, he thought he had it. He thought he was the big wheel of the wheel. He thought he was a hub of the wheel. He thought he had everything in control. And he looked at this poor man and said, well, I don't need him. Get him out of here. Take the dog and throw him down. Just take him on down to the road. But don't let him be around my back door. Let's on come into my front door. Well, that's all right. They tell me in the process of time, they tell me, the poor man died. And when poor man died, they tell me, God Almighty sent an angel down and picked up Lazarus' soul and took him to paradise. Good God Almighty. I don't know which one died first, but I know they died. Yes, they did. And then they tell me the rich man died. Oh, Lord. And when the rich man died, they tell me he lifted up his eyes in hell. Oh, Lord, have mercy. And you notice there was no angel to come and get him because it was a death angel came and got him and took him on the hill. Yeah, took him to hell. Yes, it did. And I don't know about you. You might not be rich, and you might not be poor, but one thing you ought to make sure before you leave this planet, you better make sure that you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, because the rich man didn't know Christ. He didn't believe in God. He had no love for God. He was a religious fanatic, but Lazarus believed in God. He trusted in God, and that was counted to him for righteousness. And they tell me the rich man died, and he lifted, oh, Lord, he lies up in hell and saw Abraham and Lazarus afar off. And when he saw him afar off, he called out to Abraham. He said, Abraham! Oh, Lord, Abraham, will you tell Lazarus to come down here? And on his way down, dropped by the water fountain and took some water and put it on the tip of his tongue, on his finger, and stopped by here and take that little bit of water and touch my tongue. For this flame, good God Almighty, this flame is tormenting me. And you know something? I know why I'm down here. I know why I'm down here because he was an unbeliever. He didn't believe in God. He didn't trust in God. He didn't rely in God, and he didn't love God. That's why I'm down here. And he said, well, Abraham, tell Lazarus to go back and tell my five brothers on topside, don't come down here. Don't come down here. Don't come to hell. Tell my brothers that. And Abraham said, now look, your brothers got prophets, seers, preachers on top side. And if they don't believe the prophets, do you think they're going to believe me if I go tell them that you went to hell and came and you told me to tell them don't come back? They're not going to believe that. So, buddy, you stuck. And that man is in hell today. And that wasn't no story. That wasn't no Harry Potter story. That wasn't no joke book story. That was reality. the man went to hell. And if that man went to hell because he didn't trust God, and this was before Christ died, but the faith that Lazarus had was imputed to him for righteousness. The rich man didn't have faith, and it was imputed to him unrighteously. And when he lifted up his eyes in hell, he knew why he was there. And guess what? If you leave this planet, whether you're rich or poor, without trusting God and been washed in the blood of the Lamb, because there's no more law. Law was good, but we're not under the law. Law was to lead us to Christ. Law came by Moses, but grace came by Jesus Christ. And so now we're living by faith in Jesus Christ to come into our lives and save us once and for all. So, my friends, if that man is in hell today, yes, he is. I guarantee he's in hell today. And he's been in there for over 2,000 years now. And he's still gnashing his teeth. And he's still got to go to the great white throne at the end of the millennium reign, the great white throne. All the wicked dead. All the wicked dead. We'll stand before the great white throne all the way from Adam all across 4,000 years, all across 2,000 years. All the wicked that ever died, and God knows exactly, I don't know, he knows exactly the name of every wicked person that rejected him from Genesis all the way over to Revelation. He knows them by name. He got it in a book. And when the great white throne appeared at the end of the millennium reign, all the wicked dead across the period of, what, 7,000 years, God is going to resurrect all the wicked dead, and they're going to stand before the great white throne for the wicked dead. And the books of judgment will be open. And if your name is not written in the book, the Bible says, they will be cast into the lake of fire, which is called Gehenna, liquid brimstone, where there will be gnashing and gashing and gnashing and gashing of teeth for all the wicked who have made fun of God, who have rejected God's mercy, who have licked their tongues at him, who have gave him, I'm going to say something you might not like, the middle finger, and told God to take the cross, take the blood, take the crucifixion, take the death, take all your suffering and shove it. I don't want it. I don't need it. All the dictators, all the liars, all the gamblers, all the whoremongers, all of the prostitutes that rejected Jesus Christ, all the warmongers, all the false prophets, wicked, they will be cast into the lake of fire that will burn forever throughout eternity. You will never get out. Why would you want to live lusciously in pleasure of sin and get a little bit of joy out of it and then die and go to hell? Why would you want to do that? The devil telling you that heaven's going to be dull and the Christian faith ain't nothing to it. I ain't wasting my time. Well, see, he's a liar. And he's lying to you. He's lying to you in the morning, lying to you in the afternoon. He has never told the truth. He never will. And he ain't thinking about will. He wants everybody to go to hell with him. and he wants you to go with. And if you stand around and look and don't think, you don't think this is real and authentically from the word of God, and you let your life slip by because it's a short life we live. 75 years, 80 years, it ain't nothing. That's a wink of an eye compared to eternity. In the world today, they're living fast. They're living quick. They're dying young. They're trying to get everything in to see what can satisfy their soul. And nothing can satisfy your soul but Jesus Christ. Ain't nothing else. No woman, no drink, no drug. All the parties you can go to, all the music you can hear, all the money you can get, all that will never, 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 never satisfy you. And you're going to trade your soul in for a mess of pottage for a few dollars and then die and go to hell. You don't want to go there. The world is saying now, the hell with it. Ain't no hope. Yeah, ain't no hope for the devil. Ain't no hope for the lost until they come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ. People that they don't want to live, suicide is up amongst the young people. People taking more drugs, people drinking more, people having more sex escapades. They're trying to find salvation in sex. They're trying to find it in everything, but they won't find it. You won't find it. You won't find it. It's not there. It never have been there. The only hope you got is a solid rock, Jesus Christ. Your soul is more valuable than all the money in the world, all the prestige in the world. Your soul, you only got one. You only got one. Don't lose it. Give your life to Christ today, 2021. November the 10th, it's time to wake up. The church is sleeping and slobbering on themselves. The church is sleeping. The preachers talking nothing. They ain't talking salvation. They ain't talking holiness. They ain't talking about the return of Jesus Christ and what's getting ready to happen on this planet. They're not talking about the Antichrist and the mark of the beast. They're not talking about the 144,000 Jews that's going to be preaching the gospel. They're not talking about Moses and Elijah that's coming back in the latter part of the 3.5 years and preach the gospel for the last 3 minutes so the world can hear the gospel for the last time, because after they get through preaching, it will be over. They will be in the streets of Jerusalem for 3.5 years, 24/7, every day. For the last 3.5 years, the gospel by these two prophets will be preached by Moses and Elijah. Moses is known as what? The plague prophet. Elijah is known as the fire prophet. These two prophets never finished their mission in the Old Testament. Moses never went to the land flowing with milk and honey. And Elijah ran away from Jezebel that he wanted to die. And the Lord took him out of the midst after Jezebel was slain. And by him going up in a chariot, he did not finish his ministry. Moses did not finish his ministry. And so God told these two prophets, I'm going to bring you back and plant you right in Jerusalem the latter part of the 3.5 years, and I'm going to let you preach and to fulfill your ministry. And they're going to preach so tough, like two sticks of dynamite, going to blow sin to smithereens in the world. You hear what I say? The world is going to be so angry at these two prophets, they're going to want to kill them. But they won't be able to kill them until after the 3.5 years. they want to slay them and get rid of them, because what they're going to be preaching, they're going to be preaching against sin and abomination that the nations of the world have committed. They're going to hate these guys so bad that they, at the end, God is going to permit them that they be slain and lay in the streets of Jerusalem. And the cameraman, the NBC, the ABC, the MSNBC, every Instagram, every YouTube, every TV going to watch it on the sophistication, state-of-the-art communication screen, big screen. They're going to see it in New York, London, England, Africa, around the world. The whole world is going to see it. The whole world is going to witness. The church will not be here. The church will be in heaven. These preachers preaching that there ain't going to be no rapture and the church is going through the rapture, that's a lie from the pits and the bottom corner of hell. Jesus Christ is going to get his body, and not just anybody. He's going to get the bodies that know him and the pardon of their sins and have been sanctified, clean, and we're going to get a new body. This old decayed body that I'm walking in now, you better take care of it, because God's going to change this mortal body into immortality and give us a body just like Jesus Christ, and we're going to meet him in the air. I'm talking about A-I-R, air, in the clouds with Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Bema. For 7 years, we're going to have a big time and a big celebration.
Amen, amen.
Hey, brother, how you doing?
Hey, good, doctor,
hey,
good.
God bless you, brother. Glad to hear your voice.
Amen. God, may the Most High bless you as well. Amen. It's good to hear you, brother. Amen. Good to be here.
All right. I'm going to go a little bit so you get something going on. I'm going to finish this up. We're going to be in the presence of God Almighty forever. Forever.
Amen.
Don't let nobody fool you. Don't let the devil fool you. Don't let your mama fool you. Don't let your preacher fool you. Don't let nobody, don't let no TV program fool you. Jesus Christ is coming back. And he's coming back in power. I ain't talking about dynamite power. I'm talking about Shekinah glory. I'm talking about the power that opened up the Red Sea. I'm talking about the power that tore down Jericho. I'm talking about the power that changed people's lives, to call men, boys, and girls out of darkness into the marvelous light. He's coming back to get a glorious bride. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Don't let nobody tell you anything else but what the Bible say. If the Bible didn't say it, don't you believe it. If the Bible said it and you got scripture to back each scripture up, you better believe it, because God cannot lie. God is not a liar. The devil's a liar, and he tried to make God a liar. And if he try to make God a liar, then he'll make you a liar by saying that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God, that Jesus Christ is not God Almighty in the flesh. He had bones. He had everything that a normal man would have. Huh? He went to the toilet. He ate. He urinated. He was a man. He wasn't no plastic man. He didn't have no flesh. He had. When Christ came, he obeyed the body of the law of the body, of the human body. He cried. He suffered. He had a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. He got hungry. Yeah, he got angry. He was God in man. He had no sin. He did no sin. He said no sin. But he became a sin offering. He offered himself. He offered his blood. He offered his shame. He offered everything he had to do what? Save my soul. And that was the only way that God, listen here. There's one thing God can't do. He can't come back down here and die no more. He can't be resurrected no more. He cannot tolerate sin in heaven no more. So no man, no woman, no boy, no girl that's age of accountability can get to heaven until they come to Jesus Christ. And that means everybody. Jesus Christ so loved the world. And so love means he loved it beyond his own self. Christ loved the world more than himself because he was willing enough to give up himself. That Mr. Bazard and Mr. Tim wouldn't have to go to hell and pay for our own sins. He paid the price. Oh, yeah, the price is right. You just want to come on down. And when you come on down, whoo, you can win if you go at the foot of the cross. Go at the foot of the cross, and I guarantee you, if you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, the Bible said, I ain't talking about what some preacher said. I ain't talking about what some bishop said. I'm not talking about what the Pope said. I'm not talking about what the cardinal said. I'm talking about what Jesus said. He said, come unto me, all ye that heavy laden. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me. He said, now if you come on in, I'll give you rest to your soul. And people today need rest in their soul. They are disturbed. People losing their mind. Young folks are killing each other. Black folks are killing each other. White folks are killing each other. And you wonder why it's going on like this. Go back to the Garden of Eden. That's where it all started. And this is what Satan calls for man to do against God. So you just want to hang up your guns, hang up your line, hang it up, turn from your sins, fall on your knees, confess that you're lost, confess that you're a sinner, confess that you need Jesus Christ, and tell him to come on in. He's knocking at the door. Laodicea church, the people are standing on, God, Christ is standing on the outside knocking on people's hearts. They got the door shut. They're all up in there by themselves, and Jesus Christ is constantly knocking, knocking. Come on, let me in. Let me in. And guess what? He's not going to pry the door open with no crowbar. You got to open the door. When you open the door, guess what? He'll walk on in. And when he'll walk in, he'll sup with you. And when that great trumpet sound and the dead in Christ rise, you'll be in that number. Because it's going to be like a twinkling of an eye. I'm out of here. Woo! I'm going my way. But I got to do one thing. I got to keep on pressing. I got to preach when I don't want to preach it. I got to preach when you don't want me to preach it. I got to tell you just like it is. Don't leave this planet. Don't leave this planet without Christ. Don't do it. Because if you do it, it'll be your fault. And not Jesus Christ's fault, because he done made a way. Ooh, God bless you. Brother Tim, walk with me a little bit.
Amen, Doctor. Amen. To the Most High be all glory. Amen. Thank him for his grace and his mercy. Amen. Thank him for this opportunity. Thank you for being here. Thank you for my life, soul, health, and strength. Amen.
Amen.
I'm glad I made it on with you tonight. Amen. We had a joyous time tonight, family event. Amen. So I want to gotta spend time with the family. Amen. So
amen.
I did want to be on here because, amen, Doctor. Amen. So I did want to be on here because, amen, we believe, amen, that we know, amen, that time is growing year and year. Amen. We're not trying to predict the return of Christ. But, amen, I think the most funny thing to me is, amen, it seems nobody else is talking about it. Amen, this is really the perfect time, amen, for
yes,
Christ
sir.
To return. Because nobody's looking. Everybody's having fun. I'm going to tell you that now. People in the church are having fun. People in the church are enjoying life. This ain't a time where, you know, people are poor or living in poverty. We live in the richest nation on this planet. Amen. I guarantee that this country that we call America probably has more more billionaires and more millionaires probably than any other country in the world, probably. Amen. I could be wrong. I don't know. I ain't done any studies on it. Amen. But I believe, you know, I work in banking. I can sit and tell you right now, America ain't, hey man, people ain't broke. I'll tell you that now. I look at people's accounts every day, and I tell you right now, if you got $1,000 in your account, you ain't broke.
Yeah,
hey,
bro.
Man, if you look around the world and you see people who are living in 10 huts, living in 10 houses, living in adobe brick type of houses, hey, amen, we live wealthy in this country. We live in houses that have running water, heat, we can flush the toilet. Hey, amen, we
yeah,
run nice clean water. Every day we got bread. Let me tell you something, America is so spoiled. Amen. No, we went out to eat. I see people halfway eating their food. I'm going to tell you right now, I take my food with me every time we go out to eat. If I got something left, I'm taking it with me. I paid for all of it. I want all of it. I ain't leaving
all
nothing.
Right.
Now, that's just me. Amen. Now, you do what you want. I mean, I know some folks are cute. They eat half the meal and leave it there. Maybe you got it like that. Maybe that's you. Amen. But, you know, I didn't grow up with a silver spoon in my mouth. Amen. I just didn't. Amen. We didn't grow up like that. My dad taught us not to waste anything. Hear me what I'm saying. Not to waste anything. Amen. The Bible said, what profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Amen. Amen. Now watch this. Watch this. There is no amount of wealth or money on this planet or in the universe that's worth your soul.
Ooh, come on.
Let me say that again. Come on, say it again. There is no amount of money or wealth on this planet or in the universe that's worth your soul. My gosh, that's deep.
Come on, say it again if you want to.
Watch this. Let me tell you why. Do you know that we are made in the image of the Most High God? That one had to say, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Oh, come on, y'all not ready. That's what the scripture said. What is man that thou art mindful? In other words, God, what is man that you pay him so much to that you would send your only begotten son? Y'all not hearing me? that you would give your only begotten son to redeem him from everlasting fire.
Come on.
God loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son.
Only one.
In other
words,
there's only one being in existence that could pay, my God. See, y'all not hearing me. But can pay for your soul. Amen. Come on. I know you hear me, Doctor. I'm just trying to see if the listeners hear me. There's only one being, and that is the Almighty God, that could pay for your soul, the price for your sin. And guess what? No other being in existence could pay that price. That's why I say you are worth more. Your soul is worth more than anything.
I hear you.
Anything of wealth, money, gold, silver, diamonds, gems, minerals, you name it. There is nothing in the existence of the universe that's cost more than your soul. Your soul cost so much that it took Christ to go to the cross to suffer like he did for your soul that you might have life. Y'all, man, look here. That's why the Bible says, profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul. See, it says your soul. So you can't lose nobody else's soul. So you got to give an account for your own. Amen, doctor. Ain't that right? See,
what
I got to give
doctor?
An account
Come
for
on,
mine. Amen. Elder Bazaar got to give an account for his. The next man has to give an account for his. Amen. And guess what? You are so priceless. You are so precious to God. Amen. That you know what? He sent his only begotten son that hung, bled, and died.
Oh, yes, he did.
Man, and we don't know the price that he paid. What he gave,
come on.
Could no man do it? Could
no,
no man do it?
Could
no man do it? This is why you're saved by grace and not
come
by works. Least any man could boast. Don't get me started tonight, amen. I just came in here, amen, amen. And see, you'll never stand before God and talk about what you did in this fleshly body. You'll never do that because you want to know what? The Bible says in all your righteousness, you are still as a filthy rag. Amen. You ain't clean and saved as you think you are. Amen. With your low down dirty self. Amen. It took the blood of our Lord and Savior to die on the cross. He hung, bled, and died for my sins and your sins. Amen. With our low down dirty self. Let's just tell the truth. The Bible says, and all your righteousness, you are still as a filthy rag. You ain't nothing. Amen. Amen. Ain't no need nothing sticking out chest. Amen. Because some of these saints get out in these churches, and just because they put on some cologne and some perfume and some expensive clothes, and they drive a nice car up and down the street, hey, they think they better than somebody. Man, look at here.
Come on.
We are in the most wealthiest time in man, in this modern age, in the 6,000 years, man has produced the most millionaires, the most billionaires. Amen. They've with the technology, they've dug up wealth, gold. We've amassed gold, and we've done so much when it comes to wealth of knowledge. I'm not talking about just monetary. I'm talking about wealth of knowledge, wealth of friends.
Yeah.
Look how we're able to communicate across the planet, how fast knowledge travels, how much we're able to do. I'm talking about on a global scale. See, I'm not talking about just the nation. See, in the past, just the Babylonian nation was rich, just the Egyptians, just the Persians, just the Romans, just the Ethiopians, just certain nations was rich at a certain point in time. Now we got nations all over the world.
Come on.
Full of wealth. Full of riches. Don't even know what to do with themselves. They can waste,
Lord,
and throw away. Amen. Wouldn't care. Amen. People have become so numb. Amen. I can't remember who it was I was talking to. Amen. I think it was one of me and my brothers. I know we were talking yesterday. And the world has just become numb. And what I mean by that, amen, you know what I mean. And what I mean by that is when people die, it used to be a time, amen, that people could just faint. And people as if they had died or something. People were like, when things that would happen, it was like a shock. Amen. But now I remember my dad used to say certain things, and man, it was just like, you know. But now people die, people get killed. We hear stuff. It's like that ain't nothing, and it's showing
nothing
to these young folks. These young folks out here are, man, they are going to town on each other. Amen.
Yes, they are.
Stay out the streets as much as you can. If you ain't got to be out here, people try to act like things are back to normal. Let me tell you something. I don't believe it's going to be back to what we call normal. Amen. And truth be told, amen, it ain't been normal for over 6,000 years, amen, since Adam and Eve was the first place of the garden. Amen.
Woo.
That was normal. Amen. That was normal when Adam and Eve was living in peace in the garden. That was normal.
Come on.
But when they sinned and disobeyed God,
yes,
amen, it all broke loose.
It broke loose.
It all broke loose. Death and hell entered. Amen. Ever since then, amen. And when Cain slew Abel, amen, he said, I should be avenged. Amen. And men had just been slaughtering and killing one another like mad. Ever since then. Amen. Now watch this. I want to share something with you real quick.
Go ahead, brother. Go ahead.
I want to read Revelation, the fifth chapter. I want to show you something. This is why we say, and I'm going to continue to say, and I know the elders are going to continue to say, that the church won't be here. Now, if you're walking around talking about the church will be here during the tribulation, you're right. You will be here. You was a person that may have attended church. You might have read the Bible, I guess. Amen. I wouldn't say that you did much studying if you believe that. Amen. But you will definitely be here. But I won't be here. Amen. The good doctor won't be here. Amen.
Nah,
we won't be here.
The truth.
Amen.
The
Amen.
Truth.
I'm going to be out of here. And let me show
nah,
you why we won't be here. Because, see, when people say that type of stuff, they don't understand how much God loves the church. They don't understand
right.
how much God loves the saints. And they don't understand revelation, and they don't understand prophecy. See,
right.
you have to understand the prophecy of the word, okay? So revelation is reserved, amen, like you said in 2 Peter, the second chapter, verse 9. It is reserved for who? The ungodly. Do you know what reserve means?
Mm-hmm.
See, if you got reservation, amen, that means that they were saving you a spot. Amen.
All
we
right.
we saving something for you. So God is saving this generation, this evil. In other words, wickedness is going to reach its height. So you remember when there was Sodom and Gomorrah? Well, see, that was just a few cities on the earth that was that wicked and evil. Don't you know that there's Sodom and Gomorrah's now all over the planet?
All
Man,
over.
My daughter is in high school, and we hear that. And that's all my kids were talking about. All my young kids are talking about. Basically, like everybody's gay now. I was in shock. I said, Lord, have mercy. Sodom
Woo.
And Gomorrah is all over the world. See, kidnapping is all over the world. Prostitution is all over the world. Sex trafficking is all over the world. Organ harvesting is all over the world. Human sacrifice, baby sacrifice is all over the world. Just the other day in Texas, just down the street down there in Houston, they did a live sacrifice. Amen. It's all over the world. They are so bold with their sin now that it stinks so bad that they just do it right in front of you. So you think that was something that happened down there in Houston? Oh, you be here when that great tribulation kick off. Oh, man, there's going to be a slaughterhouse. They making this stuff look like a joke. Halloween is a joke compared to what's coming. You think you celebrating Halloween. You think you run around with this 666 junk and all these tattoos on your body. Man, let me tell you something. Be here when that horn blow. You be here when that trumpet blow. And Lord have mercy, because you're going to show enough need his mercy when it happens. Amen. But I pray
Woo!
That it's saved before it is too late. Amen. But I want to read this scripture to you. Yes, sir.
Go ahead, brother.
I want to read this scripture. This is Revelation, the 5th chapter, verse 4. This is what John said. John said, and I wept much. See, when,
uh-huh.
a lot of times people don't get spiritual into the scripture. When John said he wept, John was, have you ever cried and you just, even as a man, you just can't seem to stop? He was just crying so much that his heart was hurt. The Bible said that he wept much. He just couldn't control himself. See, that's uncontrollably crying. Amen. He said because what John was hurt for mankind, he said because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. Not only that, you wasn't worthy to open, to read it, or to even look on the book. Amen. But watch this. Amen. But watch this. And one of the elders said unto me, amen, this has got to be comforting. He said, weep not.
Weep not.
Behold the line of Judah. Amen. The line of the tribe of
Judah.
The root of David.
Come on.
Had prevailed. Amen. I'm trying to get posture. Amen. Had prevailed
right.
to open the book and to loose, watch here, the seven seals. Amen. What does it say?
I hear.
Amen. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb. There it is right there.
Yes.
As it had been slain, having
slain.
Seven horns and seven eyes, which are the what? Seven spirits of God sent forth into
Good
all the earth. Man, you better know who you are. See, I'm a king's kid. Amen. See, Elder Bazaar is a king's kid. Amen. I'm a child of the Most High God. And that's one thing that I've learned over my life, is you don't mess with God's kid. You don't mess with God's children.
That's
amen.
Right.
Amen. The Bible says, first not my anointing. And what do my prophet know on? You can play all the games all you want to. Amen. But that's something that you just don't want to do. Amen. See, we won't be here when this whole thing kick off. Amen. Because why? God loved us so much. God gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him should not what? Perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Amen. So does that sound like a loving God is going to allow his children, amen, to go through the worst time ever in man history? Amen. You better go back and read and study your Bible. Amen. Then do some more praying and some more research.
That's right.
Amen. Because God ain't going to allow his church. Amen. Amen. He ain't going to allow the church to go through the tribulation. Amen. The church has already been through 2,000 years of persecution.
Yeah.
Amen. It is no need. Amen. There is no reason for the church to be here. And I've yet to understand that when I hear people say, oh, we going to be here. You got to be prepared. Prepared for what? I want you to tell me what you're going to do to prepare for the worst time, amen, that's ever been deemed in mankind's history. This was prophesied over 3,000 years by Daniel the prophet.
Yeah.
And then Christ came back and said the exact same thing. And so he came back and confirmed it and said, you know what? There will be no time like it in the past since Adam and Eve was in the garden.
Woo!
Nor up until this time, nor no time after that. That 7 years is going to be such a horrible time. It's going to be trouble and pain every single day, 365 days for those 7 years. And there's going to be things on this earth, amen, that you can't even give an account, meaning that you're not going to be able to speak what it is or what's going on this planet, things that have never been seen before. And you believe that the church is going to be here? Man, please.
No.
I guarantee you the church won't be here. Amen. I don't know what he's supposed to get in this foolish teacher. They must get their teacher from a cereal box or something. Amen. But they sure didn't get it from the box. Amen. But I tell you right now that they didn't get it from the Word of God. Amen. There is no such thing, amen, that the church will be here during the Great Tribulation. That is why Paul said it. Let's go over that real quick. I'm going to turn it back over to the doctor. Amen. We're going to go back over to things. Amen. I heard somebody try to quote this the other day. Amen. They was misquoting it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. I do apologize. It's taking me some time. Probably give me some drink. Amen. I'm kind of parched, brother. Amen. 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 This is what it says. Amen. Amen. It says in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verse. Yes, sir. Amen. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. Amen. And it says verse 50 through 52. It says, now this I say, now this is Paul speaking, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither
does
corruption inherit incorruption. Amen. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be all changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. Amen. Some people believe that this last trump is talking about during the last 7 years of the Great Tribulation. That's not what that's referring to. There are going to be some trumpets that's going to blow. Amen. That last trump. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to be changed? Amen. It says, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised, what? Incorruptible.
All right.
And we shall be changed. You're going to have a brand new glorified body.
Body.
The greatest gift to mankind is not the rewards you're going to receive in heaven. The greatest gifts is not things that you can receive on this earth. Amen. The greatest gift that you can receive is eternal life. That's what
Come
you're
on.
Living for. That's why you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Christ from the dead so that you can become immortal and live for all eternity.
Ooh.
Amen. For all eternity. For there is no number, amen, in existence that can number the time, amen, that you're going to be in existence. That's why it's called infinity. Amen, meaning that it's never ending. That's why we say you can never lose your salvation, because once you have
that's
what it is. Eternal life is never ending. That's why it's called eternal life. Amen. So this is the greatest gift that man, that you can ever, is the highest reward that we can receive.
Come on.
And the greatest reward. Who wouldn't want to live for all eternity and look young and look the same for all eternity? Amen. Never grow old. Amen. That's what people try to do now. People in the gym, they taking pills, they taking these injections in their bodies, in their face. Man, look at here. All you got to do is get saved. Amen. If you want to escape all this corruption, that's why Paul said that the corruption cannot inherit what? Incorruption. Amen.
Come on.
Amen. So if you want to be raised incorruptible, amen, and be changed, all you have to do is receive salvation. And what? This mortal must put on what? Immortality.
Yeah.
See, mortal means that, amen, I'm turning gray. Amen. I'm looking in the mirror, doctor, every week. Amen. I'm getting more and more gray. Amen. Amen. I'm getting older.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. I'm getting closer to 50. I remember a time when I used to didn't have gray. Amen. I remember I used to fill it out a little bit more. Amen. Had more muscles. That's right. Amen. Amen. You know, those days are gone now. Amen. Time moves on. Amen. I lost size. Amen. Getting gray now. Amen. Stomach kind of sticking out a little bit. Amen. Amen. But I enjoyed the time, and I enjoyed my youth. Amen. But now, amen, what? I am maturing in age. Amen. I must continue to mature and definitely mature spiritually. Amen. Because why? One day I shall be changed in a twinkling of an eye. That's what I'm looking forward to. Amen. People try to hang on to this life. People are so in love with this life, amen, doctor, and that's why the church ain't ready. The church ain't ready to go home. Let's just call it what it is. The church ain't ready to go home. The church want to stay here, make money, have fun, go out to eat. Some of the church is partying and doing some of the stuff that the world is doing. The church ain't ready to go home. Go home. Go home, boy. Go to my house. That's the home they want to go to. They ain't ready to go. Christ coming back, y'all. They ain't trying to hear that. That's why ain't nobody preaching it, because they ain't not ready. Amen. They're not ready. What they want to continue to do is enjoy this life and have fun, and they ain't studying God. Amen. So I'm going to get ready to turn over to you, Dr. Elijah, want to share that. But amen. But that's what's happening. The people they don't want to go home. They want to stay here and enjoy this life, and that's because they have no knowledge and understanding of what Paul preached when Paul said, I hadn't seen, ear hadn't heard, nor has it entered into the hearts of man what God has for them that love them. Man, God's going to have something so unbelievable. If you could just be in heaven for 1 hour, you would never come back to this life. Amen.
You sure would.
Amen.
Oh, bless your heart, brother. You ripped me open, boy. You told me something that was in my spirit. Amen. It ain't worth it. It ain't worth it. You said,
what's
profit a man that gain the whole world? There ain't nothing in this world. The beautiful women and the drinking and the 30-30 and the 40-40 and the 45 and the fine clothes and the music and
amen.
The flashing lights, that ain't nothing compared to the glory of God. And people, church folks, is just like you said, they ain't ready to go home. They don't want to go home. But those that don't want to go home, you're going to have an opportunity if you ain't right. Amen. To see what you're going to miss if you don't get saved, you don't get sanctified, because Jesus Christ is not taking nobody off this earth unless they've been washed in the blood. If you have not been washed in the blood of the Lamb. You will be here, I guarantee you, because God ain't got no... He ain't gonna say Nicodemus and then turn around and pat your back and say, well, Nicodemus had to be born again. Now I'm gonna let you slide through this time. It ain't gonna happen.
Sure.
No. Every man, every woman, old, young, pretty, black, white, or whatever, you must be born again. And the world today is more after pleasure. People want pleasure for themselves. Church folks, preachers want the pleasure of owning cars and messing with the women and marrying and remarrying, and ain't got no opportunity to help somebody else. They got their own problems. And I figure this way, if you say you saved and sanctified, you should be in a position that you can help somebody else and show them how to live. But how can I show you how to live and I'm not living what I proclaim? So you got a bad atmosphere in that. And now we're living in that age now where the Bible says there should be a falling away from salvation.
Amen.
Do anything, but don't come to Christ. That's
come on,
Doc. Don't come to Christ. You can sing your song. You can speak in your tongues. You can shout. You can roll on the floor. You can, whatever the preacher tell you to do, tell you to fall over, you fall over. You can do all that and bust hell wide open. But you got to come to Jesus Christ. And,
amen.
And like I said, the majority of the world wants to go to heaven, but they want to stay in that sin. And I'm going to tell you now, the devil done fooled a lot of people thinking he can sneak back up in there and through your witness and fool God. Now, you know how big a fool he is. He's a double fool on top of a double fool. He ain't got the sense he was created with, and what little bit he had, he didn't keep it. And now he wants to come back up into heaven. He wants to send everybody, all the liars, all the drunkards, all the whoremongers, mm-hmm. all the funnies, all the quacks, all the racists. They want to send them right back up in heaven. And God said, no, you ain't coming back up in here. You can bet your boots on that. You can bet your life on that. God said, I'm not going to tolerate it. I don't tolerate with sin for 6,000, 7,000 years. I don't tolerate sin. That's counting the millennium reign. Because during the millennium reign, there's one sin that God is going to let the world know. There's one sin you can't blame on the devil. And all the other sins that you see in the world, Satan. But there's one sin you can't blame on the devil, and that's unbelief.
Oh, amen.
And God's going to show man is a total depravity. He's totally depraved, because God is going to let people who came through the tribulation in their natural bodies replenish the earth just like Noah did and reign with Jesus Christ in the millennium reign. And the Lord Jesus Christ is going to rule the world with a rod of iron. In other words, it's going to be tough love. And one sin that God is going to have to deal with is unbelief. And he's going to prove to the devil, to the angels, to the unbeliever, to the believer, that there's one sin you cannot blame on the devil, and that is unbelief. Because that's the sin.
Amen.
that's the sin that's going to put, now, I ain't going to say majority, it's going to put every soul that reject Jesus Christ and disbelieve in his burial, his death, and his resurrection, and his shed blood, they deliberately rejected it, they will burn in hell for their own sins because they rejected the sin offering. And a lot of people talking about, oh, yes, we're going to go through the tribulation. Well, I tell you, if you go through the tribulation, guess what you're going to have to eat for food? You may have to eat your own babies during the tribulation period. You might have to eat anything that's got any kind of nutrition in it. You might have to eat, I don't know what, but it's going to get so bad. It's going to get so bad that people, your own relatives going to turn on you. Your own kinfolk going to turn on you. Your own brother going to turn on you, because a lot of people going to make a right decision. And a lot of people gonna make the wrong decision. And if you stand for Christ, you're going to have more enemies if you stand for Christ than if you don't stand for Christ. So this year, tribulation period, like I tell you, and Brother Winter called him to you, it ain't going to be no Sunday school picnic. It ain't going to be no Sunday school afternoon banquet. It ain't going to be no wedding thing. It's going to be, hell on earth. Because humanity will become barbaric. They will eat the baby. Oh, you said, where'd you get that at, preacher? I got it in Lamentation. I got it in the book of Ezekiel. I got it in the book of Isaiah, where Israel got so corrupt, they followed after the heathens of sacrificing babies and eating babies and had no food and eating donkey's head for $50, eating any dung, they eating cow dung. Why? Because there was a food shortage. And let me tell you this now. There's a food shortage on way. It's coming. You cannot prepare for it.
Man.
And if you're prepared to stay here, you still ain't going to be able to make it because people are going to turn you in. They're going to lie on you. They're going to con you. They're going to break in your houses. Ooh, I'm not going to be here, brother. Whoever out there teaching that the church going to be here, you better go back and fall on your knees and ask the Lord to show you the way through the scripture because the scripture doesn't say nothing about the church being here at the tribulation. I got to go to a wedding. In fact, I'm gonna get married pretty soon. I only been married once, but I'm gonna get married again. And this time, I'm gonna get married to Christ. Woo! He is the lover of my soul. He is my hope and joy. He is my dream. He's my dream man. I dream about it. I dream about his love. I dream about his goodness. I dream how he take care of me. For 77 years, out of those 77 years, I've been preaching the gospel for 57 years. Oh, I love him so much. You know why I love him?
Right.
Because he first loved me. And you know what? He loves you out there. Mm-hmm. He loves you out there. And God loved me that much, I know he loves you the same way. And the only thing you got to do is come to him. The only thing you got to do is repent and read your Bible and turn to Christ. And try to get in a good church where they're preaching the whole unadulterated word of God from Genesis to Revelation. Because let me tell you, you got 66 books up in there, and buddy, it's got all kind of information. Woo! And guess what? I know my future. My future is in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's my future. And people talking about, we don't know what the future holds. Well, the Bible don't tell you what the future holds. And who holds the future? Jesus Christ. Now, if you in Christ, you got a future. You got an eternal future. You got a future where there's a time you can walk on the streets of gold, where you can go down there and get a drink of water without being discriminated. You don't have to worry about back alleys. You don't have to worry about concrete. You don't have to worry about the asphalt. Well, the streets are going to be made out of pure gold. You don't have to worry about a doctor's office. You don't have to worry about a welfare office. You don't have to worry about tax evasion. Oh, good God Almighty. You don't have to worry about living out the wild. Always going to be howdy, 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 and never goodbye. Now, what in the world can the world offer you that's more than what God can offer you? What do the devil got to offer you? Oh, the devil ain't got nothing to offer you. Nothing that would satisfy your soul. Nothing. I don't care how much love you in. When you know, some people, they fall in love, man. They think that's it. Oh, man, they get a lot of money. Oh, man, they think that's it. Oh, but let me tell you, I watch the Hollywood movie stars on YouTube, how the young movie stars, when they were kids, how they was trained to be an actor, and they didn't even live 50 years. They didn't even live 30 years. They end They end up committing suicide. Young kids they probably go to church, but they never been in a Sunday school lesson, never had in the biblical principles taught them because the Hollywood movie star don't teach their children anything about Jesus Christ because they don't know Christ. In order to teach anything about Jesus Christ and live like Jesus, you got to know Jesus Christ. You got to know him in the pardon of your sin. You got to know what God has done for you in your life. And that's why you got a whole lot of young folks dying. I ain't talking about 40 years old. I'm talking about 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. I'm talking about 10 years old. I'm talking about men, little boys on the street carrying guns in their belt buckle, getting ready to shoot somebody. I'm talking about children who have not had any basic footing on the Christian faith, Jesus Christ. And that's why you got the house is full, the prisons are full of young men. They ain't don't know nothing about life. Don't know why they're here. Don't know who made them. Don't know nothing, but just live in sin. And nobody did. But let me tell you something. The church is going to get food. The church is going to get food. Because you might not think people are getting saved, but God said, I'm tired of this year. Four-corner church, folks stuck up in there looking at each other, talking about each other, doing things behind the door. He said, I'm going outside on the street. I'm going in the prison house. I'm going in the same asylum. I'm going in the jungles. I'm going to China. I'm going to Russia. I'm going to tell these folks that have never heard the gospel. And guess what? There's a more revival in the foreign land than there is in the United States. And just like you said, brother, we don't got too comfortable. The church don't got too comfortable. And we lay back and we get all the blessings that God gives us and we turn our nose up when it comes down to really worshiping God in spirit and in truth. We're fighting each other in the church. We look at each other all cross-eyed, don't have no love for nobody. I don't want to be in nothing like that. And that's why the Bible says, woo, if a man say he loves God, if a man say he loves God and hate his brother, come on now. Come on now. If you hate your brother, you are a liar, a barefaced liar, a white liar, Amen. A black liar. Why? Because God is not going to tolerate you saying that you love him and he loves me and you hate your brother. That's what's wrong with the church. There's too much self-righteous. Man, you got me boiling up when you say filthy rags. Because all our little, what we do, if we try to do it on our own, it's like filthy, dirty, stinking rags.
That's
you
right.
got a
Amen.
Lot of stinking rags in the house. You got a lot of stinking preachers needing you. Woo, to take a washing, a good washing in the blood of Jesus Christ and a good dose of Holy Ghost so they can get behind the pulpit and preach it from Genesis all the way across to Malachi, pick up Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, come over there and talk to Apostle Paul, talk to Jude. After you talk to Jude, open that book up in the last book in the Bible, it says Revelation. And when you see the Revelation, that means your time is almost up. You better tell the folks what's getting ready to come on this planet. And that's what me and Brother
Amen.
Jim is trying to do. Amen. We're trying to tell you, get ready. The king is coming. Get your heart right. And you can get your heart right right in your living room. You can be sitting on the toilet and get your heart right. You can be going to the
Amen.
Grocery store and get your heart right. You got to talk to God personally. You got to say, Lord, I'm a filthy, dirty rag. I'm out here trying to tell folks I'm a Christian. I know I ain't. I ain't never experienced your power. I never experienced your love. Lord, save me. Come into my life. It's just as simple as ABC. ABC, in other words, repent. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And if you want to get critical, you can go down in Jesus' name because it's the same baptism. Oh, let me explain something before I close. Let me tell you something. Because a lot of churches said if you be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, you can't be saved. That's not a name. And you say, well, what went on there? I'll tell you what went on. Jesus told the disciples, go out into the world and preach the gospel to every nation, teaching them and observe all things that I commanded you to do, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Then Apostle Paul comes along and says, hey, repent, every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. The reason why the Jews were baptized in Jesus Christ is because the Jews only believed in one God. And by them believing in one God, they could not accept the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. But the Gentiles believed there's one God, but three offices. They were baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, which is the same name of Jesus Christ. And so when a Jew was baptized in Jesus Christ's name, they admitted that Jesus Christ is God by himself, one God. So that's the confusion that a lot of preachers have brought on people and put a bind on him, because baptism does not save you. Baptizing is a symbolic badge of the burial, death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So there's only one baptism, and that one baptism is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and then in the name of Jesus Christ, it's supposed to be the Jewish nation. And during the time of the tribulation, and I'm going to give it back to what you call, he can open the altar up, and somebody out there needs to be saved. Come on now. You need to be saved. You don't heard the word tonight. Amen. You don't hear the power, man. You don't hear behind the pulpit. No. You know, preachers ain't going to talk to you behind the pulpit, because I'm not going to pet you. I'm going to tell you just like it is. And that is, you can come to know Christ tonight. Just as simple as ABC. Jesus Christ is God's Son. His only son. There's no more sons that he can offer sacrifice. And what we want to do, we don't want you to miss this great event that's getting ready to happen on this planet.
Amen.
When I get to heaven, and Brother Tim get to heaven, the Lord's going to look at me eyeball to eyeball. God's going to look at Brother Tim eyeball to eyeball. And
yes,
I know, man. I want the Lord to say to Brother Tim. Yeah. And that's why we're on the same frequency. Amen. We come from the same Bible. We ain't trying to jive and shucking and jiving with you. We don't want your money. We want your soul to know who Jesus Christ is. And that's what we're trying to do to you now. We're trying to get you convinced. And the most difficult thing in the world is to convince a sinner that you need a Savior. That's a difficult thing until the Lord.
Yes, sir.
The first thing they're going to do is, oh, man, I don't believe in that stuff. That, I don't know. I don't. And the only way that you're going to get the word, you got to get it from a real preacher. You got to get it from a real teacher.
That's right.
You got to get it from a real anointed person. If you don't accept Christ as your personal Savior, it's not me telling you this. It's the Lord telling you this. You'll never see heaven. That's what we want you to do. And we want you to ask the Lord. You got to pray, Lord, lead me to a church where they are preaching and teaching and loving mercy and talking about the whole Bible. Don't miss none of the Bible. Like it is. The events that happen in the Bible are real, every last one of them. And we are here to tell you, we want you to get an understanding that salvation is the hope of glory, that when the rapture of the church occurs, that you'll be caught in it. Oh, this is why I want to tell you, during the tribulation period, there won't be no time for baptism. Uh-oh. During the tribulation period, now listen, during the tribulation period, if you accept Jesus Christ, you ain't going to be able to go down to the river and say, I'm going to be baptized in Jesus' name, or will you be baptized in the name of the Father? Because the government is not going to let you do that. You got to accept Jesus Christ by faith. And when you accept it by faith, that means your soul is ready for heaven because you have been born again of the Spirit. But the baptism, if you don't get baptized, you still can go to heaven by your faith in Jesus Christ. That's the blessing that God is going to give mankind, because there ain't going to be time for that. Woo! So I'm going to tell you, those that's going to church, well, you can't go to church because you're the church. You're going to worship. But you're going to worship, you're going to learn. So the church is a motivating divine body of Christ, and our job and your job, first of all, your job is to receive Christ. After you receive Christ, your job is to be a witness for Jesus
Christ.
Hell is real and heaven is real. Brother, take us to the altar. Let the people know out there that we love them. We care for them. Convince them, and grab, like I said, grab a friend somewhere. If you're in a car, on your radio or wherever, grab a friend. Just sit down and listen. Just listen. You don't have to do nothing special. Just listen to what God said, and He's saying it to us. And we are not on this and telling you a bunch of lies. He's telling you absolute truth. Jesus loves you. Go, brother. Take her to the altar.
Amen. To the Most High be the glory. Amen. Amen. The Bible says in Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10, which is known as the plan of salvation. Amen. What does that mean? What is the plan of salvation? It was a plan, amen, that God, amen, set into motion, amen, when he had his son to come to earth and to die for our sins, to redeem man back to the Most High God. Amen. We are so grateful and thankful for that. We're thankful for this opportunity. We're so grateful for the saints. Amen. A lot of people are saying that they've gotten saved. They're so glad they gave their life, amen, to Christ, amen, to Yahshua, to Jesus, amen. I mean, they're so glad they came to the Most High God, Yahweh. We are so grateful for that. Their souls are being saved. Amen. Remember that heaven rejoices, amen, when one soul repents. Well, we are so grateful, amen. Like I said earlier, amen, your soul is so priceless, amen. That's why I say, man, you know, to take a life, man, people just don't understand what they're doing. They're doing the works of the devil, amen, when they take a life, when they take a soul, amen. That's why it's so important that we preach the gospel, we rightly divide the word, because we want as many people to come into the kingdom of heaven, amen. So many people preach and teach, amen, but it's all about the blood, it's all about the sacrifice, it's all about the plan of salvation, amen. We are teaching, we're doing all this work. Why? For souls. We want to win as many souls into the kingdom of God before Christ returns, before it is too late. Amen. So we just want you to receive salvation tonight. Salvation is more simple than what most people know, than what most people believe. Salvation is very simple, and I'm going to show you. Amen. Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10. This is what it reads.
Yeah.
If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord, amen, Yahshua, and shall believe in thine heart that Yahweh hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Amen. And that's it. That's
yeah.
it. That's all it takes. Now watch what it says. I'm going to read a little bit more. I'm going to get it turned back over to the brother to shut it down. Amen. It says in verse 11, amen, says, for the scripture said, whosoever believeth on him should not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Yes.
That's it. Amen. There's no need to make it complicated. I don't see anywhere in that scripture that it says you got to work towards your salvation. If you have to work towards your salvation, I'm quite sure that the writer would have found some way to place that word into the plan of salvation. That word is nowhere existing in the plan of salvation. Why? If it doesn't take works to get saved, it don't take works to stay saved. You are sealed by your belief. And because
yes.
you receive salvation, the Holy Spirit comes in. That's why the Bible says, for it without faith, it is what? Impossible to please God. Because you got to have faith. Once you have the
yes.
faith, the Holy Spirit comes in, and the Holy Spirit begins to work on you and to deliver you, to deliver your heart, to deliver your mind, and the Holy Spirit begins to work on your mouth. If you have a mouth where you use certain words, if your mind is not right, amen, if you have some type of an addiction, the Holy Spirit will work on you. I'm living proof that the Holy Spirit will change you. Amen. I know
yeah.
the good doctor, amen, was living proof that the Holy Spirit would change you. Elder Bazaar, amen. And so we know
yes.
this fact that the Holy Spirit would deliver you. Amen. So that's all it takes. Brother, go ahead and shut it down. Amen. Thank you.
All right. God bless you. God bless you out there, all my listeners, all my loved ones. I love you all.
Amen.
You'll be on Sunday at 5 o'clock. God bless you. See you next trip.
Amen. Real quick, I won't be on Saturday. I forgot all about that. I won't be on this Saturday, but I will be back on the following Saturday. Amen. But I will be on
okay.
Sunday with the elder. Amen.
Okay,
God
dog.
Bless you all. Good night and love you.